say question and answer call. And who's that? Would you like to say your name?
Prudence.
Prudence. Hi, Prudence.
Hi.
Good to hear you.
Thank you. Good to hear you. Good to be on.
Is John Zaborowski here?
Yeah, I'm still here, Wynn. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Now, listen. We're all going to give John a rousing cheer, okay? because
oh, my God. A miracle happened.
Aside from having the greatest laughs in our groups.
Oh, my God.
After a three-year slump.
It's actually longer than that.
Four-year slump. John.
Depends how you count. Depends how you count.
John got a job.
Yay!
Yay. Oh, <Bob, though.
laughs> Yay!
And I think the reason he didn't get a job was not because there were no jobs. I told him that, but he didn't believe me. But because he was, I shouldn't talk about you publicly, but it was an internal thing, like a self-rejection, you know, or not being able to focus. Or, John, why do you think you couldn't get a job?
Well, I already explained this on a Saturday call, so I shouldn't really explain it here.
Well, the people here aren't on Saturday calls.
Well,
the Saturday calls
are for Fred. Fred actually helped me get this job, and so did Terry, Dr. Terry Friedman. You know, the manifestation, you know, mm-hmm. described in Terry's book.
Yeah.
That and Fred helped out, and Ed. So all of these combined helped me to get this job, really, basically.
Well, I'm sure glad I didn't help. That's all I can say.
Well, of course, to win, too.
But I didn't really help directly, okay? Those guys helped directly. I helped by...
We have to give most credit, of course, to Ron, who told me that this was just a distortion, that, you know, they said that I had a distortion, that I, you know, believed that I couldn't find a job anymore, and they were right. It was just a distortion. So I give mm-hmm. the credit to Ron, of course.
Now,
I think we should all
put in the light that you keep the job, okay?
Yes, and get promoted, yes. 6 months from now, I'm going to try to get promoted to working full, you know, just as a full-time for MGM. So that's basically it.
Okay. Well, that's job security, because MGM will be around for a while. Probably, you know, it's like we hope they will.
Mm-hmm.
And are you working for the casino?
Yeah, well,
John?
I'm a contractor for MGM.
For the casino, right? The,
yeah, MGM,
hotel.
Yes.
Right. Well, MGM also makes movies. So,
No.
Okay, we're not muted, so... No! But it's okay. All right.
It's a dog eating a burrito.
It's a dog eating a burrito?
I guess so.
How do you know?
Yeah, I just got the feeling. Quick question in between, Wynn. Will you be able to continue selling Dr. Friedman's book, The Man Who Walked with Jesus?
Are there any more books?
No more. For the moment, no more books. But it looks like things are going to go really well, okay?
And all right.
I'll keep you informed as everything manifests. It's actually a miracle that the books are still going to be for sale. But I will...
Yay!
I want to recommend anyone over here in your prayers, keep this book to be known by many people. Send it in your prayers, love light,
I will tell you, if you had gone to the website a few days ago, it was saying the book's not available. And right now we got enough going on that the PDF is available, okay? I got enough clarity. The thing about it is that Dr. Friedman owned the book. So when he died, it was, could have gotten caught up in probate and wills for a long time. So. Huh?
Backgrounds. All right, but so you think that you will have hard copies available too in the near future?
I think so.
Awesome.
Okay.
I need something to read.
You need something to read?
Yeah. Well, I'm having a hernia surgery tomorrow, so I'm going to be down for a little while.
Chris?
Well, listen, I think if you're having a hernia surgery, what you should do for that, to go down to the supermarket and get the National Enquirer. It's really entertaining. You don't want to get too deep while you're having a hernia surgery.
That's true.
But it's much better to find out who Brad Pitt's sleeping with.
Right.
Plus, you're working in the same area of the body, so it might have a healing effect. All right. When be good.
Be good.
Be good. Be good. And is Morgan here? Hello, Morgan.
I am.
Okay.
Hi, Morgan.
Last call we did, I was chastising Morgan for wanting to vote for Hillary. And I said if she was going to vote for Hillary, she couldn't come in the calls anymore. And she actually believed me, okay? She was really hurt. I felt really bad. So
I had just dialed in, and that's the first thing I heard, so I thought that was you were meaning it.
Not one bit. And so
people take you seriously sometimes.
All right. Well, I love Morgan. And Morgan is a partial angel. And an angel in training. And you can take that seriously, Morgan. I'm not joking. Okay?
I believe
and,
it.
Yep. I told Morgan I would publicly announce that in this country, everyone has the right to vote for whoever they want to, and we can have our opinions, and I can express my opinions, and if Morgan, which I do, but if Morgan is going to vote for Hillary, it absolutely does not affect how much I love her, okay? Now, Morgan, is there anything else I should say?
No, that goes for everybody, though. That's what I'm saying, everybody. That's what I used to teach in school to the kids, that you don't have to answer to anyone. You vote for who you want. You don't even have to tell them who you vote for.
That's right.
Okay,
good. Thank you, Morgan.
Thank you for being a big enough man to admit it when you were wrong.
Well, I wasn't wrong. I was just kidding. You're just overly sensitive. How could anyone reject? How could you believe? How could you believe that anyone could reject you like that? Okay,
I'm so serious.
It's your phone call. You get to say was my view. So I thought you were just.
I mean, we didn't even reject this guy who would come on the phone calls early so he could stalk women and meet them and then harass them. We muted them, though. We didn't mute them all the time. But, you know, I figure no matter where someone is when they come on the call, there's always, if they keep coming to the calls, there's always a chance they're going to hear something that's going to turn them around, okay? And that goes for everybody. When you feel stuck, when you're coming into these calls and you feel stuck and things are hopeless and things won't get better, you never know what you're going to get exposed to that can change you around. I mean, we have this great energy on the calls. But we also have lots and lots of wisdom. And if I'll tell you, if John could get a job, anyone
could get anything.
John,
yeah.
Get anything, right. So just, you know, and one by one, you guys are proving it because so many of you have had life-changing things happen, you know, in their life. Because, you know, what happens is your energy goes up and then you start having synchronicities and you pull things in. Your energy has to be higher than the world, okay? And when it's not, the energy of the world is what prevails. So, we got to mute John.
When?
Yes.
This is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
I just wanted to say thank you for Sunday's call. Before Fred even started his clearing, the tears were coming. I don't know if it was just a thought that this was going to happen or if something was happening, but I just wept like a baby the whole time. And then Ra'an came in, and it was awesome. And I'm still high on it. So,
thank you.
That was
a good call because, you know, it talked about one of the things that keep us in low energy. Okay, if you haven't listened to the Sunday call, I recommend you do. It was on guilt, and we really went into it, and. Most people have guilt. Most everybody does. They don't even know what it's from. Because, you know, one lifetime or another, if it wasn't this lifetime, we've all done things that have been hurtful or worse to other people. And it lodges in our auric field, and it makes us feel unworthy. It makes us feel undeserving. And you're not undeserving. No way, but as long as that energy is there, it feels that way. So it was a really good call on...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Letting go of that undeserving thing, okay? And we're going to start. You ready, Terry?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Terry this afternoon was thinking, I can't do the call tonight, I'm really out of balance.
I woke up, the computer was broken, the printer was broken. People needed something immediately.
it was one of those days. Huh?
Yeah. I kept people busy. I kept Lynn busy all day trying to figure out what was wrong.
And then I had all these things I had planned for today and yesterday. And Terry is like going through, well, the computer's not working, and this is not working. You know, we're pretty busy because we're running all our businesses and our attendant businesses and our ozone businesses. We're doing all that. And I love bringing those products to people because you know, the people who have observed, I felt really guilty selling anything at first. I said, I don't want people to think I'm a salesperson. I don't want to, but I town products that were so darn good and so helpful to most people. And of course, we sell everything with a guarantee. So, but we do a, I don't just pick a product and start selling it. I start with a very small group of people, and I start getting everyone's feedback. Even when I think it's good, I want to make sure other people think they're good. And then as I get really confident, I also want to make sure, like, they don't break down. Like, no, we don't have to worry about the pendants breaking down. But I said, what if we start selling these ozone machines? And I knew they were good. I knew they were good. But I said, you know, what if we start selling them, and then 3 months later, they all start breaking down. And so it took me a long time before I got confident enough to put it out, because we have a guarantee. So Terry is anchoring the business, and she does a phenomenal job, usually.
Except when everything breaks down.
So everything was breaking down today. And you know, there's a lot of responsibility when you're doing business. Yeah, that's, people have expectations. And Terry is way better at responsibility than I am, okay? And so she's been maintaining it. And we had Rebecca come over today, who lives in Cottonwood. And she's been on our calls, and she's been going through her own stuff. And we met, I think Cottonwood is like 15 miles from Sedona. And she came over today because I got to give Terry some backup. And she's volunteering at the moment to help, because Terry is the kind of person that if for quite some time I said to myself, I got to be really careful about making this business too successful, because if we suddenly start having loads of orders, and Terry will, she's done this, she'll stay up for 3 days to get everything done, and we got to figure out to make sure we can handle it so that doesn't happen. So in any case, that this is life in the real world. And now we're going to go to life in the interdimensional world, and let's call it the way. Father, Mother God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect Terry and myself, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And just let's take one moment and do what we do on Sunday. Hold this group energy and send it to the sun, to the earth-sun connection, to the center of the earth, surround our planet, support all those things that are service to others, all those people who are reaching to make a difference, and to all of you who are so graciously coming to our calls and supporting this work. You make a huge, huge difference, okay? Maybe it's not obvious to you, but you do. And if you notice, the calls have been getting better. When I say better, the vibration of the call gets higher, and the calls hit the ground running. And it's because all of you who kept coming to the calls are contributing your energy. We are reflectors. We can bring in the Elohim energy. We can bring in this energy. But somebody's got to bounce it back, or it doesn't exist in this realm. And you guys are holding the space to bounce it back. And, you know, it's really rare to be doing this. You know, when Carla Rucker and her beginning crew were bringing in the rod rope, they told them that it took them 200 years to find a group they could trust, because it's so easy to, and they've had this experience, it's so easy to abuse this. It's so easy to go on an ego trip. It's so easy to become swell-headed, and that they were humble in the way they approached what they did. They gave it all. They gave the stuff away for free, and I like to think we are as well. And that's why we sell all these products, so we can afford to do this. And that, and all of you guys who are holding space for this to happen, it is really a miracle. And I get it from their point of view. They say it. It's a miracle that people actually get it. That we're, you know, we're not walking around giving up our power to the Elohim. We're not turning this into a religion. We are just bringing good energy and joy into this realm. And you guys are part of it. I know some of you are still struggling and going through stuff. And every moment you can stay above your struggle and your sorrow and the pain of this realm, you are retraining yourself to learn to live in that space more and to bring in the synchronicities and miracles the universe has waiting for you. Okay, so on that note, do our sources have anything they'd like to say to introduce themselves?
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. Mm-hmm. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you. If we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, then disregard it, as it does not apply to you at that time. This is Ra'an, and we are here to assist. It is an honor to assist in whatever way we may. Do you have questions?
Yes, we do. Our first question is from Don Herman. And Don Herman, we talk a lot about love light, and he would like an understanding about love light in a way that makes it more accessible and usable for us. Thank you, Don Herman. And I just make one comment to Don. You know, Don's been coming in our calls for a long time, and he's a really sensitive guy, and he's really deep and really highly intended. And I just think that oftentimes I've had the thought that he doesn't realize how special he is, you know? And he is, and I don't say that to his ego. He's got great qualities, and I think he's, you know, this accessing the love light is, you think it's separate from you, but it's not. It is you. And how can you access what's already you? It's just, I guess you can access how to work with it, how to experience it more. But let me turn it over to our sources and let them give their take on this. Thank you.
Thank you. for things to work, there need to be love and connection for things to work together. Everyone, each one, carries their own light. We carry our light. It is a part of the nature of you and a part of the nature of us. And when we connect with this connection of love, and love clears away barriers, love opens a pathway for information to flow, for expansion, for creativity, for life to exist. So when you are connected in love, it creates a bigger light, the light of you and the light of us, and we are connected together, and our light shines even brighter.
Is it like light, love is the affinity that causes light to, of different separate beings to meld with each other?
It is a flow, and it is the connection in love that creates the light and casts aside anything that does not move with the connection and allows the love light, the connection, the love to flow. Light moves off and burns off anything that is blocking the connection of the love.
Thank you. Now, it's very interesting. We got three questions today that were so connected to each other. You guys have noticed that on our Wednesday calls? Sometimes questions come in flows. For example, here is Rich in Livermore. Is there anything I can do specifically, meditation-wise, to raise my frequency? Could you offer examples? Could I, or should I, ask for help from a higher authority to raise my frequency?
It is you in connection with the higher realms or service to other beings that can provide an example for you that allows you as your source to know what to do to raise your frequency. Asking the other authorities to raise your frequency is not the same as you being the one in control and seeing the example from the higher sources who have the higher frequency of how to raise your own frequency and how to duplicate a higher frequency. That is our answer.
Thank you. Next question from Dharmananda, okay? And you see, these three questions are all in the same vein. I should mention, this coming Monday, Marilyn is doing her Monday, and she's picked the topic of tuning and meditation. And probably addressing, and we're going to do a session prior to that call where she's going to play. So if you're interested in that, be sure and listen on Monday, okay? Dharmananda, I feel a very strong energy flowing through the top of my head and out through my hands. It's a very blissful feeling. What is this energy, and what do I do with it?
Thank you. There's the energy of connection. You have connecting chakras in your hands, in your palms of your hands. You can send energy from the palms of your hands. You can receive energy from the palms of your hands. Also, in your crown chakra, you can send energy and can receive energy. You can connect with the higher realms with your energy from your crown chakra, both entering or leaving. You can send energy from your crown chakra. It is a very powerful energy that you have that you can send when you learn more about sending it. You can express your intentions through that energy and can change your world around you to what you would like more, what you would like it to be by the sending and receiving of energy through those chakras.
Thank you. I said earlier something to the effect that when your hologram is larger than the holograms in the world, that you can impact the world holograms and they will tend to be more cooperative with you. And it seems to me Dharmananda having this experience is, if he experiments a little bit, you know, one of the things that people sometimes do when they have that experience, and I used to be guilty of this, it's like, oh my God, I've got it. Why doesn't everybody get it? I've got this great thing to share. And it's kind of like I learned that didn't work. It's almost like to be able to hold that space and at the same time be very ordinary, because the ordinariness allows other beings to access your energy field, but there's no ego in it. It's just a way of being of service. And that when you learn to do that, other people want to give you what you need. They want to cooperate with you because you're helping them to lift their energy, but there's absolutely no self-aggrandizement. Am I correct in this?
Thank you. When you are working without ego, you are moving directly to the goal, directly to the energies you wish to express. When you are moving through ego, you are putting a transfer loop in the middle of everything that reroutes energy through the aggrandizement of yourself and takes away from the power of what you are really trying to do.
Thank you. That was exactly my experience. And just so oftentimes when people start having this kind of experience of expanding their energies in themselves, they blow it temporarily till they get this principle. They blow it because they've been working so hard to have it, and suddenly they start to get it, and then they kind of expect other people to defer to them. God, do you feel my energy? Do you feel how magnificent I am? And it's just, it flows in more subtle ways than that. If you're demanding recognition, it moves kind of into a service to self thing. Even though you've got the energy, it's like, it doesn't have to do with recognition or acknowledgement. That's a lower level of it, connecting with people. It's not that it's necessarily negative for someone to acknowledge you or recognize you, but my experience is that they can do that, and you just have to work around that graciously. It just comes with the territory that you can't pat yourself on the back, because as soon as you do, the energy stops. And it starts, that's my experience anyway. You can't hold the energy when you get attached to acknowledgement and recognition. And
yes.
When I used to play,
go ahead.
When I used to play music, and I was fairly shy, and I didn't think I ever had anything to offer anyone, and then suddenly I go up in front of a group, and most of the time at the beginning, everyone ignored me because I was such a terrible singer. But I kept doing it, and I would have this moment where it shifted, and somehow I connected. And I suddenly had the total attention of an audience. And what would happen would be I would blow it. I'd say, oh, my God, they're paying attention to me. Oh, my God, they know I'm talented. Blah, 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 blah. And then as soon as I had that feeling, it would dissipate. And eventually I learned to let that happen and be detached from it. I'm sure I couldn't be doing what I'm doing now if I had the least bit of attachment to the recognition of it. I couldn't do it. I would be too self-conscious. I'd be thinking, oh, my God, everybody's listening to me now. Oh, my God, boy, was that really, I said something really wise. You know, I would just be, you know, I wouldn't be in a flow. So it's kind of like be able to channel that energy so that it can create a flow in 3D and a manifestation in 3D, because you have a lot to offer, lots, and learning how to do that from the higher realms. Go ahead, turn it over to sources.
Sometimes the people, when they get into that self-aggrandizement, can get isolated energy-wise from the surroundings and build themselves a tower. And in their power, they put things together, and they are putting themselves up above everyone else. They are building an isolation chamber in the sky, and the tower can be built very, very high. However, it is in for a fall. And that is the tower card of the cards. The tower card, the meaning of the tower card is building a tower, and it isolates you from what you are really trying to do, and one is in for a fall often when they build themselves an isolation tower.
Thank you. Next question is from Rebecca in Cottonwood. Is there any way for me to know if I even came close? You know, I don't like saying came close because it sounds like it's over. Say if I come close. You mind, Rebecca, if I use the word come instead of came? Because life is a flow, and we're in it. Is there any way to know if I come close to fulfilling the purpose for which I came to this planet and to know what is left for me to do?
Yes, it is
just asking the question. You are seeking for the avenue of fulfilling your purpose. Your past has been a entryway or a platform towards building the ways that you can connect and simple things are important. They may not seem important, but the connection with others, the connections you had in teaching your students, they are a forming of a platform of experience that may not seem like much, but it is a great platform that you can branch out from and can move into. When you feel fulfillment in one area, or that you have done or that you can do in that area, then you can know that you have achieved a state of a platform of awareness. And now, from that platform, there are other areas that you can branch out into and move into that you have not fulfilled yourself in yet. And you have many years left to be able to put other exciting things into play and move into whole new paradigms that bring new and high level fulfillment.
You know, there's an idea that we came into this realm to learn certain things, and that we have karma, and we've come in here to release our karma. And I think some people have the idea that, okay, now I've done all that, I can go now. And what do you think of that thought, that idea?
One, give us a moment. One has a continuous life stream that moves from one area, one event, one experience, and to the next experience. Some people do have a contract, and then they come in. For instance, there was one case where a couple had a contract to be together for a certain number of years, and the husband, he had a contract to leave and to go back to the source or back to heaven realm at a certain age. When that age came, he no longer wanted to leave because he was so much in love with his wife and they had such a good experience together. He decided to stay longer so that he could be with his wife and they could experience more together. However, some people do have contracts that they would come in for, say, 3 years or 18 years, or that they would come in for a certain experience, and then they would leave after they had achieved that experience. So some people do have that. It is an individual thing. One cannot blanketly prescribe for everyone what they might experience.
I remember reading about circumstances, situations where, I don't know if this is true, but it was presented as if it was, that somebody can come in and take a body, and they're handicapped, and they're retarded, and they actually did it intentionally to be a service to their parents, to give their parents an excuse, an opportunity to give unconditional love. Does that make sense? Is that kind of thing possible?
Yes, and usually in a circumstance like that, they have been together with the parents before. And then this is a growing sense of experience between the three. And sometimes people do work out karma in that way.
Thank you. Okay, we have Michelle in, is it, she has Candler, North Carolina, okay?
Candler.
She spelled it Candler, but I think it's Chandler. I don't know, it might be Candler. I don't know. There's Chandler, Arizona, so I don't want to get confused. But I think if they can't feel it, I'll look it up. But I have been searching for my next job career, and I've been looking at sales representative positions, and nothing that I wanted was offered yet. Is there a path that I would do better at or overlooked? And what's my time frame? And Michelle, if you like our products, send me an email, because there's a phenomenal opportunity in our products for sales. You know, we have really laid a groundwork, but it's not like a normal job. It's like you got to love the products. But let me turn it over to our sources. Thank you.
Thank you. We feel that there are other opportunities open out there to you. It is not just one opportunity. There are many opportunities. And even in the line that you are in now, there are opportunities for greater growth. And it is merely the connection and finding that if you are able to research out other people who are working in areas that you feel a strong connection with, and just see if you can get to converse or chat with them for a short time and ask them questions about, like an interview, how did you come on your career, how do you like career, what are the opportunities available in your career for someone new to enter. You have, in what you are doing now, you have a base that you can rely on, and then when you speak to others to broaden your window of potential opportunities and see what is out there, some of these people may give you ideas that you have not thought about.
Thank you. Now, Michelle, we have another question from Michelle, okay? And a lot of people are thinking this. And Michelle, first of all, I got to tell you that our sources do not like to make negative predictions. From their point of view, and for what we're doing now, our work comes from a level that anything can change if we catch on. And maybe there's other people out there like that. If enough people catch on, it changes the consciousness. And that Terry and I have asked about this ourselves. Like a couple of weeks ago, we got some email that says in 2 weeks everything's going to fall, you know, the economy's going to collapse. And I know there is a very high possibility, maybe probability, that that's going to happen, that there's too many just indicators. If you study the economics and look at them, there's the fact that the dollar doesn't have any value to it anymore. It's not backed by anything. And that our government just prints money. And the reason that has to create a huge problem is because we are involved with other countries all over the world. And they're starting to back their money, particularly Russia and China. And it means our dollar can be artificially created to hold its value in this country because it's what people believe in. Everyone believes the dollar is worth a dollar. But as other currencies become backed by gold and silver, then on a world level, our dollar is going to have to go down. In other words, other countries are going to start demanding more dollars for their merchandise, like China. And right now, it's incredibly out of balance for how cheap you can buy Chinese goods. But the Chinese are coming back and buying property in this country. So, you know, it's kind of like this out of balance in the dollar has to create a problem sooner or later. Has to. It can't help it. And it's like, how smart can everybody be in correcting this problem remains to be seen. It could be a total devastation, or maybe some really brilliant economic people will say, here's a way we can reduce the impact. With that being said, I'll ask the question, but they're probably not going to answer it in like a specific answer. You know, if they did, it means that things can't change. And believe it or not, prayer changes things. Like, oh, we're going to have a nuclear disaster. Is the world going to fall apart? Are we going to go extinct? Well, maybe all those things might be possible. But it depends on us. None of it's locked in stone. Okay? So with that being said, her question is, will we have another crash in the market for the U.S. dollar crash in the next year or so?
Thank you. Give us a moment. The powers that be are fighting to keep it up. They have some aces in their pockets that we do not like to particularly look at, that they think could, if push comes to shove, takes everybody's attention off of the whole area, the war, potential for war. However, there has been potential for war for quite some time that they have pushed back the deadlines and have opened up and have not come about or to fruition. So prayer does make a big difference in this. We remind you that individually, each person has some control over their own situation. It's like I lens of a camera. Are you focused upon the flower, or are you focused upon the whole scenery. If you focused upon the flower, we do not mean that in terms of having we only mean it in terms of being focused on something that is close in. In your life, if you are focused on your life and your payment of bills and your own particular situation and take care of your own house, your own situation, you can ride through anything that may happen easier than if you do not take care of your own individual situation. So what is it that you focus on? One can have a focus to bring in clothes, get your debts paid off, have your house in order, have a little bit of backup of money available to you. So in case something does happen, you have a little bit of a question. If everyone paid attention to that and was able to up their circumstances by even a little notch, this would help the whole in general.